And I really tried to focus on the necessity of learning how to endure suffering and how out of that God can speak to us. And, you know, I think when you hear a message like that, it might be very easy to come out of that type of message and think to yourself, you know what? I can't do that. I'm not strong enough to endure suffering. I can't do it. And if you came away from last week feeling that way, I just want you to know that you're right. You can't endure suffering. You're not strong enough. None of us are. But thank God we have the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to talk about today. Oh, these guys are great, aren't they? Thanks. Hey, at least it was just water. Just think if I had, like, grape juice or something as a sermon illustration. We'd be in trouble. They'd be mad at us. They'll never know. So don't say anything. You're in trouble, Sam. Don't even bring it up. I know nobody else is saying anything. All right. All right, we recovered. We're all recovered. Now you guys can focus. All right, so listen. Whoa. This is going to be a great start. You really fill it up. All right, brother, let's be real careful. I didn't need that much, but thank you, brother. Wow, I'm scared now. That's the Ugandan way. Overflowing. Well, I'm just going to put it right here. There we go. All right, that's just that. That's it. Whoa. Don't spill. In Jesus' name. All right. So listen, what I want to do today, this is not really part two, but it kind of is, because what I want to talk about with you guys is how you can endure suffering. But more than that, really the key to being a witness for our Lord and Savior, and that is the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to let you know that this morning, you know, if you notice, worship was shorter today because we're going to go into a prolonged time of worship and prayer after my sermon. We want to turn this place into a house of prayer. We're going to open up the altars for you guys to come down and pray. You can kneel. You be careful kneeling right there. It might be in for a little tray. But hey, it's the water of the Holy Spirit. But we are going to have an altar call. And we just are expecting God to do something awesome in all of our lives here as I talk about the Holy Spirit. And then we follow up by not just leaving, but by really seeking God together this morning and trying to understand what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. So I'm going to talk specifically with you about something called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we talk about this in H2O, but it's been too long since we've talked about the beauty and the power of this incredible experience, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I want to share with you how the baptism ties into your endurance and suffering and your power as a witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to do that by opening up by looking at a guy that really needed boldness. Maybe you've been here before and you felt like you needed boldness. Well, this is a man that needed boldness, and his name was Peter. Let me show you a picture here. Who knows what that picture is? You know where that is? What is it, Matthew? That's in Rome. And why would there be an obelisk there that I'm showing you a picture of? Well, let me explain why. I mean, obviously, this is thousands of years old. It was built by the Egyptians. I don't know exactly when it was built. I think it was 1,000 or 2,000 years before our Lord came to earth. One of these Roman emperors had a really big ego. And so he wanted another obelisk. So he made his people build a ship, and they took it from Egypt, and they brought it to Rome. His name was Caligula. He's an interesting guy. Crazy. They brought it, and they set it up in Rome. So it was made in Egypt. It was a couple thousand years old. Caligula brought it to Rome and said, look at me, I'm so great. I've got another Egyptian obelisk. But the reason why I'm showing you this and the reason why we still have it today is because that is, it was marked the spot in what was called the circus. So they set it up in the circus where they would do their, you know, gladiatorial things, their chariot races. But it was right by this obelisk where the Apostle Peter was killed, where he was crucified upside down for his faith in Jesus. And so we have this obelisk. It reminds us that Peter was martyred right by that site. And so, you know, when you hear about this, and we've talked about the martyrdom of Peter, and you guys remember last week, right? I talked about the martyrdom of Ignatius of Antioch. You guys remember that? How he was killed at Rome. We talked about Peter's martyrdom, Paul's martyrdom. And when you hear these stories, you tend to think, well, they're like super people, super apostles. I could never do that. I just can't endure that. But you need to understand that every Christian martyr was just simply a man or woman like you that had an extraordinary measure of the Holy Spirit in that time. They could not have done that. They could not have endured this type of persecution if it wasn't the Holy Spirit, the power of God giving them strength. And so I want to start by talking about the other side of Peter, not the Peter that was martyred upside down and was bold, but I want to talk about the Peter that needed boldness. And we're going to look at Mark. If we could put this scripture up. This is a passage from the Gospel of Mark, just before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And they've taken Jesus in custody, and this is a famous scene, but let's read it together. This is what happened with Peter. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him, and she said, "You also were with that Nazarene Jesus." But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow's one of them." Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely, you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. It's a famous story, and many of you know about it. Of course, this is when Peter denied that he even knew Jesus Christ. The same Peter that preached the gospel boldly in Israel, the same Peter that preached the gospel in Antioch, the same Peter that preached the gospel in Rome and was killed in Rome for his faith, this same Peter denied Jesus. I can relate to that. Can anybody relate to that? Or is it just me? Just bold women of God? You guys don't understand this? I do. I love the fact that he was real. He's just a man. He was subject to weakness. You ever been subject to weakness and sin? You're tempted and you give in. You feel like, why would I do this? Peter himself denied the Lord. And if he would have stopped right there and just said, well, it's over for me. I denied our Lord, so it's done. The world would be a very different place. But he didn't. And as some of you know, and what I want to talk about with you today, is that Peter experienced something that is recorded in the book of Acts that gave him the supernatural ability, the supernatural power to be a witness, so that he was no longer witnessing in the power of his flesh or his own strength, but it was the power of the Holy Spirit working through Peter. And we're going to talk about this right now. We're going to look in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. We fast forward here, and Jesus has now been crucified. He's been raised from the dead. He is now getting ready to ascend back to the Father. And before he goes to Father, listen to what he says to the apostles in Acts 1:8. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So what our Lord was saying there is that, listen, Peter, John, you guys, you have a big job description. You're going to witness for me. And as a matter of fact, as we found out, many of them were going to actually die for their faith. What he's telling them here is, you're not going to do it alone. You're not going to be alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He is going to empower you to be a witness. This is a foreshadowing of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want to try to give you an illustration to kind of differentiate between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I need a volunteer. Who wants? All right, Neil, come on up. You're going to get wet. Come on down. Give it up. The one, the only, the man from Cyprus, Neophytus. Neil, I need you to hold this. This is a man. It looks like a cup, but it's a man. Now, when a man comes to faith in Jesus Christ and is converted, he then receives the Holy Spirit. Every Christian in the world has the Holy Spirit living within him or her. You cannot be a Christian and not have the Holy Spirit in you, okay? So when you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. So let me show you what this is. Look at that. You're just getting filled up with the Holy Spirit. There we go. Stay really still. Careful. Now, what I want to talk with you about today is another experience with the Holy Spirit called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This filling of the Holy Spirit here is salvation. You are saved from your sin, you are renewed, and you receive the Holy Spirit. And he lives in you, and you are a new creation. But then there's this outpouring, this baptism in the Holy Spirit, that gives you power to be a witness. I like to think of it this way, and I'm not going to go crazy, so don't get too nervous. We already spilt a lot, so I guess it doesn't matter. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit would be something like this. You ready?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
See, it's just overflowing. Look at that. There we go. So when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that is not just being filled, but overflowing. Like what Andrew was saying, it is an overflow of the Holy Spirit. Neil, thank you. Let's give it up for my prop here. Now you can pour that out if you would in the bathroom.
I'll throw it on the ground.
No, don't throw it on the ground. Be very careful. Yeah. Very careful. Now I could teach on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at conversion, and that's very important as well to understand that. But today what I felt led to do was to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because most of you in this room, you are already Christian. And if you're not, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you're thinking about Jesus, trying to decide if you're going to give your life to him. It's awesome to have you here. And for those of you that are a Christian already, because of that, you have the Spirit. But I want to talk to you about an experience that will give you an overflowing of the power of God, that will go beyond yourself, and it will bring the water of God to those around you. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. My faithful, faithful team. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Let's look at Acts 2. Acts 2, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4 is a very important scripture showing you this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at it together and see what it is. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. This now is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, giving the apostles supernatural power to be a great witness for the Lord. Now, they had the Holy Spirit, They knew God, they loved Jesus Christ, but the Father knew that the job for them was so great that they needed this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here we see it happening. And when you look in the book of Acts, chapter 2, you can see the fruit of this. You can see what the power of God can really accomplish. Look at verse 14 with me. We're not going to look at the whole passage because chapter 2 is a very big passage. But I want to show you a couple verses here. And this is after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are thousands of men and women gathered in Jerusalem. This same Peter that denied the Lord, the same Peter that was too scared to admit and acknowledge that he was even associated with Jesus, is now filled with the power of God, stands up, and he begins to preach like this. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, he raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day." So when the Holy Spirit came on these people, they began to speak in tongues, and they began to act strangely. And so people thought they were drunk. Well, these guys are just wasted. And Peter's saying, no, they're not. He says, this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. "It shall be in the last days," God says, "that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then, they who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. The Holy Spirit was poured out, and they received the power of God. And the same man that denied the Lord stood up in boldness, and 3,000 people were saved. They were converted and baptized and came into the church. You see, the power of God is, it's like using power tools as opposed to regular tools. You know, we have a job to do. That job may include enduring suffering at times. That job may include parenting. That job may include being a witness for Jesus Christ. And it's always important to use the proper tools. Let me explain this. Let me show you this. This illustration will not make Pastor Chris as nervous. It might make some of you more nervous. Let's say that I've used this trusty saw for a long time. I've had this about 25 years. And sometimes you just need to saw something. And sometimes you just need to get out some hurt and aggression, and you just need to saw things. You know what I mean? You just got to saw. And so let's say that I need to saw through a board. I can saw through a board with this and use a hand tool, and I can get the job done, but it takes a long time, and it's not as effective. But I've done it at times. I've used this on many occasions. Now, there's another, let me see what I got in my bag of tricks here. This is fun. This is a sawzall. Now, this sawzall, what I love about this is you've got multiple attachments. This is one of my favorites right here. I use this a lot. This is a, anybody know what blade, what this is for? What kind of wood specifically? This is for pruning. So like if you're going through a branch, let's say that I have a tree that's getting overgrown. I've got, you know, maybe just about this thick of a branch. You know, You know, you can do a handsaw, right? And if I handsaw a branch like this, it might, for most men, it might take them a minute or two, maybe take me 30 seconds. But I could do it. But when you put this in here, you just put it in. I'm not going to put it in. I don't want to make you too nervous, okay? I get it. But you can put this in here, this pruning attachment, this blade, and it's very effective. So that same, let me put these in the right spot here. That same job that would take me with a handsaw maybe a minute, I could literally go through this in like, I don't know, 5 seconds. I love this tool. You just put it in, that blade goes, you just put it right on the branch, and literally it's just like, done. I'm through the branch. Here's another one. I mean, sometimes I go out in my yard just for fun and I prune things. When I first got this, I'm not joking, I put on that pruning attachment. I went around, we had a little wooded area, I'm just like, we get some vines growing. I mean, it's powerful. Now, I could do this, but it's not as effective. And so what I'm trying to talk to you about this morning is, listen, you can try to talk to your coworkers in your own strength, right? You can try to bring your neighbors to Christ. You can try to lead people in your dorm to Jesus in your own power, or you can have the power of the Holy Spirit. He's given us supernatural power tools, and they get the job done much more effectively and much more powerfully. This is really what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. Now, so let me just sum up. Why do we want the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Power. Power, power. Power to witness, power to endure suffering. How do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit the same way the apostles did. You know, in Acts chapter 1, you will see a great big prayer meeting. That's what they did. They got together and they prayed. They prayed night and day, and they were waiting for the promised Holy Spirit. And in the same way today, for those of you that want to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray. And that is how you receive. Praying in faith, opening your heart for an experience with the Holy Spirit. Now, like I said, we're going to turn this amphitheater into a house of prayer here soon. But first, I want to just talk about tongues, because speaking in tongues, people just, it's strange, isn't it? It's just different. Anybody, I remember the first time I heard people speak in tongues. I came to the University of Michigan, and I was in a campus ministry, and I was converted. I had come to Christ. I'd been baptized recently. I was now 20 years old. And I met some Christians. They were radical, man. I said, what are you guys going to do tonight? We're going to go, like, hang out and get some pizza? No, we're going to talk about Jesus by the bars. I'm like, okay, sounds interesting. I'll go with you. So some very strange people here in Ann Arbor, but I like it. So we went out, and we were by, not that you guys would know this, but what is that bar? It's on Williams, I believe, like. No, it wasn't that. Necto or something? Is that, am I on the right? Is that? You're not supposed to know this, Mark. You're not supposed to know this. That's all right. But no, he knows. Some of you guys know. Just give me a hard time. So I think it was Necto or whatever. So like, we're going to go outside the bar. And they had a crate. And they're like, we're going to stand on the crate and we're going to talk about Jesus. I was like, man, you're like Peter in Acts 2. This is crazy. How are you doing it? How do you do this? Well, I was about to find out. So they said, let's pray. Okay, let's pray. So we start praying. And I hear this guy speaking Hebrew. That's what I thought. And he went off. I mean, the guys, I'm talking seriously, like for a minute or two. Like, I knew he was spiritual, but his credibility just went out. He speaks Hebrew. He's not even Jewish, man. But he was actually not speaking Hebrew. He was speaking in tongues. And he had to explain to me, no, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I have this gift of tongues, and I pray in tongues, and God fills me with his presence. And I said, wow, I got to figure this out. I don't know what this is. So if you're trying to understand what the gift of tongues is as well, before we pray today, I want to just kind of go through the scriptures with you and explain that, because there's a lot of misunderstanding and misinformation about the gift of tongues and how it relates to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, primary passage of scripture that talks about the gift of tongues is 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, primarily chapter 12 and chapter 14. I want to look at just chapter 12 briefly with you. This is when Paul is explaining the different gifts of the Spirit, okay? Let's look at these. In verse 7, he says, "To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. And to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." There are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? Word of wisdom, word of prophecy, gifts of knowledge. Miracles, right? Faith, working of miracles. Tongues, prophecy, interpretation of tongues. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit. But what I want to focus on here is when Paul talks about tongues, look at what he says here. He says in verse 10, "To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues." I have discovered at least 3 kinds of tongues in the scripture and in my own personal experience. I'm not teaching that there's only these 3 types of tongues, but there are at least 3 different kinds of tongues. When you read the Greek there in 1 Corinthians 12, it literally says kinds of tongues, not just tongues, but kinds of tongues, different kinds of tongues. What I've been talking about with you this morning primarily is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, when you encounter the Holy Spirit in this way, and he pours out upon you that overflowing, you will speak in tongues. That is an initial sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is what our church, the Assemblies of God, teaches. There is another kind of tongue as well. Let's look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's put that scripture up. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 5, if you want to write this down. Again, if you guys have questions about this later, just let me know, or any of the core leaders. We'd love to talk about this. 1 Corinthians 14, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. But the one who prophesies edifies the church." Okay, let's stop right there. I'm going to read this again. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies who? Themself. Okay? And those that prophesy edify who? The church. So in 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking to the church. And in 1 Corinthians, he's specifically dealing with problems in their local Sunday gatherings. Okay? They had some issues. They had some liturgical problems. And so the Apostle Paul is attempting to correct that. And he's trying to give them proper teaching on the gift of tongues. So right here, we find the second purpose of tongues. It is spiritual edification. It edifies you. The first type, again, was what? It is a sign, an outward sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit at that moment. The second is a personal edification. He who prays in a tongue edifies himself. So I pray in tongues all the time, probably every day. Now, I wish I could say I pray in tongues hours a day like Nancy. But not all of us can be African. But we can wish that we were. But I can say this, that I pray in tongues a lot. Really, is this biblical? Should I do this? Yes, it is edifying myself. When I pray in tongues, it is like I'm praying mysteries from my spirit with the Holy Spirit right to the Father. I'm just praying and praying. Well, listen to what Paul says next. If you're wondering, should we really pray in tongues like this? Let's read it again. Let's go up to the scripture. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like some of you to speak in tongues. Oh, wait. Is that what Paul said? So wait. I would like who? Every one of you to speak in tongues? Wow. So why would Paul say that? Because he wants you to be able to be edified. Remember, he was just talking about speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues edifies the woman that's praying in tongues. He wants everyone to experience that. Now, remember the context of our passage. The context of our passage is a Sunday, like, liturgical correction, okay? But he then gives a caveat, and he says, but basically, when you're in church, listen to what he says here. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. That is very strange, because when you look at 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul just said all nine gifts of the Spirit are equal. Did he not? Isn't that right? They're all the same. There's none that's greater, right? A man that has the working of miracles, a man that prays in tongues, a woman that prophesies, a woman that can discern demonic spirits and angels, they're not greater than anybody else. All the gifts are given by God for us as a church, and they're equal. So why would Paul say that the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues and contradict what he said in 12? Because he is actually talking about the public gathering, okay? He's talking about when you're together. And listen, he goes on to explain that. He says, the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in a tongue unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. So when we are in church together, when you're here on a Sunday, I could get up here and I could just go off in tongues for 30 minutes. And man, I get blessed. I'm like, whoo, that was powerful. Oh, it was amazing. And Sam's sitting there going, well, I'm happy for you. I don't know what the heck you said. Unless maybe I busted out French, you know, somehow. Like the Holy Spirit gave me a message in French. I know a guy whose tongue language is French. It's the craziest thing. He doesn't know French. And he was baptized in the Holy Spirit and he began to speak some words in French. Do you know who I'm talking about? Jonathan and Cindy, no. He's crazy, man. He's radical. So he went off, he started speaking in tongues, and I heard him. I'm like, he's like, you know, oui, oui, senor. And he's going off in French. Or maybe it's not senor, is it? That's not right. Sorry. Sam, I'm sorry. I don't know. But he speaks like French, and maybe not all his tongues are French. But certain words are French, which is crazy, and he didn't study it. And so, I don't know why I brought this up. Wait, what? Oh, interpreting, right. So, if my friend came here on a Sunday and spoke in tongues for an hour, Eric's not going to get anything out of it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, whoa, I'm glad you're blessed. I mean, he's crying, he's excited. You're like, that's great, you know, for him. So, what Paul is saying is, but when you're in a public gathering, I would rather have you prophesy, because when you prophesy in French when you're in France and you prophesy in English when you're in America, you can edify the church. The goal here is to edify you, right? Not to be selfishly focused. So Paul is saying that when you are together, if you're going to have a spiritual gift, I would choose in a public gathering that you just prophesy. Some of you may receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the first time. You've been praying about that. We're going to hear a testimony. Bree is going to share her story of how she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's an amazing story, and I still remember that. That's the first type. The second type is personal prayer language. It edifies you. You can pray in tongues when you don't know what to pray. You ever been in that place where you want to pray and you just don't know what to pray? I've been there, and I can pray in tongues. You can just edify yourself by praying in tongues. The third kind is a public message for the church. It is when we are gathered together, sometimes the Holy Spirit will give somebody a message for the church, but it won't be prophecy. The Holy Spirit wants the person to speak in tongues out loud, and then somebody else will be raised up to interpret that message. Now, why does God have it that way? I have no idea. And I told you I pray in tongues frequently for that, you know, that second kind of tongues. But I think there's only been maybe two or three times where I've ever had a public message in tongues. Has anybody been in a worship gathering where somebody had a message in tongues or no? Have you heard that? Wow, all right. Some of you have. It's weird. And especially weird when you feel like you're the one that's supposed to do it. Oh, gosh, I remember we were in a gathering, and I felt like the Lord was saying, speak in tongues loudly. There's a message for people here. No, I'm not going to. This is strange. I mean, I'm not embarrassed to pray in tongues, but just, you know what I mean? It's just really in front of everybody. So I didn't do it. And then a minute later, speak a message in tongues. Okay. So I did. So it kind of got quiet. You know how people pray, you know, people get intense, and then there was the quiet, and then there's like me feeling like the freak. I start speaking tongues. Lord, please interpret this. I'm going to look really stupid. And you know what happened? Somebody had a interpretation. And just as I spoke in tongues publicly, the Lord put on somebody's heart, they could understand what God was saying through that message. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea. But they said, this is what I believe the Lord is saying through this message in tongues. And they prophesied. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And please, never again. I'm joking, just trying to free you guys up, because it can seem weird. You know, it can seem strange. Why? I don't know why God would use the gift of tongues like this. I don't know. It's one of the strangest things. It's a mystery to me. But I know that the gift of tongues is such a beautiful gift that God has given us. And I want to bring some balance here, too. And then in just a second, I'm going to have Bree, if you could share your story. Because I think it'll help you guys as you hear from Bree as well, just her journey and how she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As awesome as tongues is, I don't want you to get overly concerned with tongues, because the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not to speak in tongues. Okay, I'm going to say this again, because very often, I think, in Christianity, we miss this. The purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, what we're going to pray this morning here together, is not just so you can pray in tongues. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and the power of God comes on you and you speak in tongues, that is a sign of the baptism. But the purpose is power. Remember my sawzall? Super, you'll never forget that, I know. It's supernatural power. That's what it's all about. And very often in the church, we get this confused. We get obsessed with tongues because tongues is so visible, right? It's so outward. It seems interesting, you know, like a guy speaking French that never learned it. It's dramatic. But the reason why God pours out the Holy Spirit is power. You need power to be a witness at U of M. This world is darkening. And if you want to be a light, you need power. I need power. I don't want my words to be the words of a man. I want the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I want the power of God to work through me. So when we pray this morning, keep that in mind. It is for the power of God, not just for the gift of tongues. Though tongues is awesome and wonderful. And I'm praying that many of you can experience that this morning. Power is what we're really after, to be a witness for our Lord. I want to have Bree kind of share her story. I think, like I said, it'll be good for you guys. Bree, if you could share, and then let's have the band come up as well. We're going to go into a time of worship and prayer. We're doing good on time, which is good. We're going to have time to pray together. But Bree, can you share kind of your story and how it went? Thank you.
So the very brief version is that I grew up in the church. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was 7 and baptized when I was 8. But I never really heard about like the baptism of the Holy Spirit until I got to college. And so my church kind of talked about like spiritual gifts and that they existed, but it wasn't really like ever practiced. So it was kind of like this, just this idea that I didn't really know like how to get to. And then when I got to college, I joined one of the orgs on campus, and they were very charismatic and very much into like baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they like never called it that either. So they were like speaking in tongues, and like there are prophecies happening and people are getting healed, and I'm just like, but what's going on? Like, I see like the spiritual gifts happening, but it wasn't that connection of like how, like what is happening. And so it was sophomore year. And some of you may know Micah Gillen and Jake Kellis. So they lived in Bursley where I was a CA. And Micah was like, he knew my friend and they worked at Spring Hill. And then he was like, oh, you should check out H2O. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, definitely. Like, I'll come. And then totally forgot about it. And then like 6 months later, I was like, I said I was going to come. And I like hate to back out on commitments. So I was like, I said I'd go. Let me go. And just like so I could say I went and like keep it moving. And so I came, and it was like March 18th-ish or 19th. And it was my first Sunday. I was just going to come in, sneak in the back, just and then kind of sneak out. But that didn't happen either. Like, as soon as I came in, like, good morning. Like, hi, how are you? What's your name? And I'm just like, oh, I'm going to have to talk to people, okay? And so, and I was kind of in a really weird spot too, because my dad had just passed away like the day before I moved back sophomore year. And so I lost a lot of friendships that year. It was just really hard, but spiritually my relationship with Jesus was like growing, and I was just finding like this deeper intimacy because I didn't have like anybody else. And so I think God was just like using all of these things that happened in my life to kind of prime me for this Sunday, which Pastor Nina was talking on, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I remember I was sitting in the row that Cindy is sitting in, and like he started talking about like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then things just started to make sense to me. Like, it's because like the power of the Holy Spirit, like it's like that overflowing, and it's like, okay, like things just started making sense. And then Pastor Nina gave that invitation to like come up if you wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I was just like, I gotta do it. And I freaked out because I was like, I don't know these people. Like, I'm just the new girl that just came and kind of wandered in here in March. Like, okay, so, but I did. I came down because I was like, you know, I'm not gonna be disobedient now, like, if I can receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I came down, and Tammy prayed with me. And I just felt like this overwhelming peace come over me, which was exactly what I needed, because like some people, like my sister talked about, like, you know, how she felt like she was on fire, and like my mom was like fire, and I was just like, but like the Holy Spirit like knew that that's not what I needed. I needed like that overwhelming peace of like I got you. And I just kind of opened my mouth and started speaking in tongues, and I was just like, what is happening? And I haven't left H2O since, because I was like, I don't know what's going on here, but I want to be a part of this. And so it's not just like what Pastor was saying, like it's cool to be able to like operate in like the gifts of the Spirit. And so like God has used me to heal people. God has used me to like give words of knowledge, but like even it's just having that boldness and having that connection to of like you sense in your spirit, like I'm supposed to like go talk to that person, or I'm supposed to like go do this, like in just everyday life when I'm just walking, just minding my own business, like going to work or something, and God's like, I need you to talk to that person. I'm just like, what? Like, I'm just walking, like trying to go to work. And he's like, no, I need you to like go speak to that person. And so it's just that it just gives you that intimacy to like just really just like being with the Holy Spirit. And so I guess I want to encourage you, too, that if you have asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and haven't received it yet, mine was 11 years in the making. Like, I didn't know about it until I got to college. And so It just happens, and there's no like kind of formula of I did this, this, and this. Now this should happen. It's just like it'll happen when it's supposed to happen. So just be obedient, because God's gonna let you know. He's gonna be like, it's time. So I just want to encourage you in that.
Thank you so much. Oh boy, that was great. So, and hopefully, what Bree is saying will help you guys kind of understand this. We're going to kind of have like the after church afterglow. This is the time now that we've been waiting for, when God's going to do something in your life. I want to say this. Many of you here, I know, have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? I know several of you pray in tongues. This altar call, I'm going to invite you guys to come forward as for an altar call. This is not just for people that have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is for all of us. I know many of you want an encounter with the Holy Spirit. You want God to work in your life. I know that's me. I told you, I pray in tongues nearly every day. I need God to touch me. I want more of the power of God. And so as we open up the front here for people to pray, this is not just for those that want to be baptized in the Spirit. This is for everybody. If you need a prophetic word, if you need healing, like Bree was talking about, one of the gifts of the Spirit is healing. Maybe you need healing today. We want to pray for healing. So this is a time for you to encounter the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? God will respond to your faith. He will respond to your faith. If you come forward with faith, with a desire to connect with Him, He'll meet you. He'll do something awesome. Let faith rise in your heart. Let this expectancy rise. And just come to Him with an expectancy that, God, You brought me here. I need this. I need something from You. God will meet with you. Let's seek God together. I want to do this. We stand together. I want to pray for you. I'm going to move my stuff out of here. And what we're going to do is we're going to go into a time of worship. If you need to go anytime after we start our worship here, you can be dismissed and don't feel bad about it, okay? Don't feel like you have to sneak out. If you need to go, you can go, because I'm not going to formally dismiss us again, all right? So some of you, you know, you got things you got to do. I get that. So I'm going to pray, bless you, and then we're going to just start having church. All right? We're going to have the Holy Spirit do something in our lives. And I want to encourage you, after I pray, just come forward if you need prayer for anything. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, let me know. Let somebody know, okay? Like, I want to receive baptism for the first time. We'll pray for that too. Amen. Let's pray, you guys. Father, we thank You. We magnify Your name. And we thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit, who gives us the ability to witness for Jesus Christ, who gives us the supernatural power to endure all forms of suffering, who gives us the power to be a light for Christ in a perverse generation. And we pray that You will come now, Holy Spirit, that You will speak to us, that You will do healing, that You will baptize in the Holy Spirit. I pray for those that have not prayed in tongues for months, and it's been dormant, and they know this is, they've heard me, and they said, this is the time I need to reconnect with God. I need tongues to well up again. I need to be edified because I'm dry. For them, Lord, meet them today at the altar. So, Father, we give You this time, not forcing anything, and not holding anything back, just to be led by the Spirit today. We love You. Praise You. We ask this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 As they lead us, would you come on down? Let's pray together, you guys.
Just begged God for more of Him for so long, and you feel like He hasn't received. responded, or at least not responded in the way that you asked or that you hoped. We really can't control what God does, right? There's no magic formula. Nothing like God's a genie that he'll do exactly what we ask every time. But what we can't control is if we give more of ourselves to him, right? I think that's what it's about today for all of us. God is asking for more of us today. And as we empty ourselves, and there's more room for him to pour into us, you know? Just like, man, I want to pour into you, but you're full. And it's you're not full of him sometimes. As we empty ourselves of ourselves, gives God room to do what he desires. So just empty yourself of the flesh today. We must decrease so that he might increase.
Your presence is heaven. Jesus, oh Jesus, your presence is heaven to me, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, your presence is heaven to me, oh Jesus. Lord.